you love good music that stirs your soul, you've come to the right place. We call this place Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. This is DJ Rick, bringing you just a little bit of my favorite soul, funk, and R&B music. I'm glad you can join me. One of the regular listeners to Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, asked me to provide more Al Green in this show. So this program is about the Reverend Al Green, who is rightfully considered one of the best soul singers of all time. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame credits Al Green with creating a new kind of soul music, combining lush and polished music with southern down-home sensibilities. It is also a story about collaboration between great musicians, which resulted in an incredible amount of critical and popular success. This is a story about a great singer who rose from being dirt poor to rich and famous, and then walked away from all that to become a preacher. His rise was unprecedented in soul music history. In the five-year period from 1971 until 1975, Al Green released 12 singles that reached the top 10 on the R&B charts, and 6 consecutive albums, all of which hit number 1 on the R&B albums chart. Let's get started with his signature song. That, of course, was Let's Stay Together from 1971. It was a number one hit on the pop chart and stayed at number one for 9 consecutive weeks on the R&B chart. It has such enduring popularity that President Obama sang a few bars of it at the Apollo Theater in 2012, 41 years after its release. Let's Stay Together was selected to be included in the Library of Congress registry because it was culturally and aesthetically significant. But to tell Al Green's story, we have to start at the beginning. Albert Green, spelled G-R-E-E-N-E, was born in 1946, the sixth of 10 children born to Robert and Cora Green, tenant farmers and sharecroppers in the little town of Jack Nash in Lee County, Arkansas. His family and other relatives had farmed since the days of slavery. And his parents were the fourth generation of sharecroppers on a farm located in a county named for General Robert E. Lee. The family was, quote, five children to a bed, poor, unquote. In Al Green's autobiography, he describes the town of Jack Nash as so tiny and out of the way that it could get lost in the tall corn. But it had two churches, and the Greens went to both of them. The gospel music of superstar quartet, such as the Swan Silvertones, the Dixie Hummingbirds, and the Soul Stirrers, was allowed in the Green household, but the so-called devil music coming out of Memphis was forbidden. Hoping to get out of the hard life of a sharecropper, Robert Green put his sons together to form a gospel singing group called the Green Brothers, and they started performing around the various churches in Lee County. Too young, at first, to be part of the group, Albert had to stay working on the farm, but the idea of traveling 10 or 20 miles away from the farm was very enticing. At a very young age, poor, shy, and scrawny, little Albert Green decided that he was going to be a singer. In 1955, when Al Green was 9, the Green family left the farm and moved to Grand Rapids, Michigan, and that's where Al started singing in the church choir. He also sang gospel music with his brothers. But in 1962, his father caught him listening to and singing along with Jackie Wilson records, and after angrily breaking his record player and all his devil music records, dismissed him from the Green Brothers and kicked him out of the family apartment. He was 16 years old. He dropped out of high school and took a job at a car wash to support himself, although he later returned to graduate from high school as an adult, becoming the first member of his entire family to graduate from high school. Al's singing talent attracted the attention of Mother Bates, a gospel revivalist in Grand Rapids, and he soon was touring with her to churches across the Midwest. At age 18, he started a vocal group first called The Creations and later renamed Al Green and the Soulmates. They scuffled for gigs, paid or not, for several years. But then, in 1967, Al Green and the Soulmates recorded their first hit song.
Back up the train. Never forget the girl I left behind. Her tears, her kiss, her face stay on my mind. I got to make her say that she'll forgive me. I gotta get back so.
Oh, That was Backup Train, which reached number 5 on the R&B charts in 1967. On the strength of that song, Al Green and the Soulmates were invited to appear at the Apollo Theater, the world-famous venue in Harlem. Al Green describes his feelings about the Apollo as, quote, Mecca, Jerusalem, and the Promised Land all rolled into one. At the conclusion of their singing A Backup Train, the crowd at the Apollo went nuts and would not let them leave the stage. They were called back to sing the song 9 times. Bell Records, the record label, quickly ordered a new single pressed. It went nowhere, didn't make the top 100. Their second follow-up single in 1968 also bombed, never charted at all. Their album failed to chart as well, and Bell Records dropped them. Al Green and the Soulmates broke up, with all the members except Al deciding to abandon their dreams of being singers. Back in Grand Rapids, Al Green was living with a woman named Juanita, who was 10 years older than Al and made her living as a prostitute. He admits in his autobiography that he learned much about the world of prostitutes, bars, and drugs during this period of his life. Furthermore, he had borrowed thousands of dollars from friends in order to keep recording singles, and he could not pay them back. He was broke, but his spirit was not broken. In order to change his luck, Al changed the spelling of his last name, dropping the final E. He toured endlessly and appeared in dives and small roadhouses on the strength of his one hit. In late 1968 or early 1969, the date is uncertain, unable to afford a winter coat or even to get a haircut, he took a gig in a sawdust-floored roadhouse in Midland, Texas, second billed to Willie Mitchell. His luck was about to change. That was Soul Serenade by Willie Mitchell, recorded for High Records in Memphis. The song was written by King Curtis and Luther Dixon, and first recorded and released by King Curtis in 1964. The sax part in this track was played by the very young Charlie Chalmers. But Willie Mitchell's cover version reached number 10 on the R&B chart and number 23 on the pop chart. Willie was completing a tour of the West Coast when he took the small Texas Roadhouse gig on the way back to Memphis. Willie Mitchell was 18 years older than Al, a distinguished-looking man with snappy clothes, and was a seasoned performer and arranger. With him on tour were young session musicians from Memphis, including Leroy Hodges on bass, Charles Hodges on organ, and Maven Teeny Hodges on guitar. Al Green was sick and tired of singing Backup Train by now, and with Willie Mitchell's band during the rehearsal before the show, he sang it in a new, subdued, even soft way. The band followed his lead, and the song was transformed into a slow, meditative soul song. Impressed, Willie said, "Where did you learn to sing like that?" After the show, the proprietor of the Roadhouse stiffed them for all the money he promised. Al had no means to move on, so Willie Mitchell offered Al a chance to ride with the band back to Memphis. They talked all night long. When they got to Memphis, Willie offered to do his best to make Al Green a star and gave him $2,000, which, adjusted for inflation, is equivalent to over $13,000 in current dollars, to pay off his debts. Willie told Al to come back to High Records as soon as he could. After going back to Grand Rapids and paying some debts, he returned to Memphis about 3 months later. This was the beginning of a very successful collaboration. That was Tired of Being Alone, also from 1971. It was written by Al Green and produced and arranged by Willie Mitchell. In the studio, for weeks on end, Willie insisted that Al Green sing that same song hundreds of times. Willie did not say much about what he wanted to hear. Just don't sing it like that. Sing it softer. Feel what you're singing. Sing it like Al Green. It was frustrating for Al, but ultimately he began to create his new softer vocal style, with growls and moans and swoops up into the falsetto range. It was his first top 10 hit since Backup Train 3 years earlier. This was the first of his singles to go gold or platinum. All of these singles were produced and recorded for High Records at Royal Studios in Memphis. The house band at High Records, usually known as the High Rhythm Section, was used in all the songs too. Background vocals were usually done by Rhodes, Chalmer, and Rhodes. I may have a complete show on Rhodes, Chalmers, and Rhodes in the future. Royal Studios was founded in a former movie theater in 1956 and is still in use. It's one of the very few studios which have been operated continuously for more than 50 years. And Willie Mitchell was hired by High Records in the 1960s, first as a recording artist and producer, and ultimately ended up owning it until his death in 2010. It is now run by his grandsons. This is DJ Rick. You are listening to Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, on the Voice of Vashon, 101.9 FM, KVSHLP, on Vashon Island, Washington, and streaming worldwide at voiceofvashon.org. The next song is one of my favorites. You just heard I'm Still in Love with You from 1972. The song was written by Al Green, Willie Mitchell, and drummer Al Jackson Jr. Al Jackson Jr. was the drummer for Booker T and the MGs, the house band down at Stax Records, also in Memphis. But he was also session drummer for Tina Turner, Bill Withers, Albert King, Donny Hathaway, Eric Clapton, and many others. He is regarded as one of the most influential drummers of the entire soul era. The song I'm Still in Love with You starts out with the Memphis horns. You can also pick out the spare style of guitar favored by Willie Mitchell, played by Teeny Hodges. Next up, we're going to play another song that is just classic Al Green. I urge you to listen to it carefully. Al starts singing over Teeny Hodges' guitar up front, followed by Teeny counting off the tempo with his foot on a cardboard box. Then brother Charles Hodges falls in on organ. The crisp drumming by Al Jackson Jr. follows, and then the Memphis horns join in the mix. The song is Love and Happiness. Enjoy this great collaboration between fantastic musicians.
Love and happiness, yeah, something that can make you do wrong, make you do right, yeah. Love.
Love and happiness. But wait a minute, something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone, 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, talking about how she can make it right. Yeah, yeah. Happiness is when you really feel good about somebody. There's nothing wrong being in love with someone. Yeah. Oh, baby. Love and happiness.
Love and happiness.
Love and happiness.
Because Love and Happiness is over 5 minutes long, it was not released as a single in the United States until 1977. But it found a big audience in radio play off the album I'm Still in Love with You, and by being featured as a performance on Soul Train in 1973. You can see that live performance on Soul Train on YouTube, complete with his full band, not a lip-sync performance. It's worth checking out. The song is rated the 98th best song of all time by Rolling Stone magazine. Soul Train historian called it one of the greatest soul songs of all time. In 1972, all three trade publications, Record World, Cashbox, and Billboard, selected Al Green as the top male vocalist in an unprecedented sweep. And Al was just getting started because he had not yet released Call Me, considered his masterpiece album.
Sit right down and talk to me about how you want to be. You ought to be with me. Yeah, you ought to be with me. Thinking about what people do, talking about how I love you, thinking there's nothing to what they say.
That was You Ought to Be With Me, released in 1973 as the first single off Call Me, Al's sixth album. It went to number one on the R&B chart and number three on the pop chart, selling more than a million copies. The Call Me album was filled with great songs, including Here I Am, Come and Take Me, which went gold, as did this next one.
What a beautiful time we had together. Now it's getting late and we must leave each other. Go on and take your time.
tell you it's all in the way you feel. If the love is real, come to me.
Call me, call me, call me, come back home.
The best thing I can do is give you your love.
That was the title track, Call Me, Come Back Home, Al Green's sixth consecutive gold record. Again, most of these great songs were done collaboratively. Al Green described the process as follows. We had our recording routine down cold. Usually Willie and Teeny and Al Jackson would work out the fundamentals of a song and then give it to me to write the lyrics. Once we had something that we were all happy with, Leroy and Al Jackson, or sometimes Bulldog Grimes, would put down a rhythm track. That's what I would sing my vocals to, and Willie rarely altered the way my voice came through. Willie and the rest of the musicians would get to work adding their bits and pieces, and when it was finished, it would be presented to me for my approval. Once again, the song Call Me, Come Back Home features backing vocals by Rhodes, Chalmers, and Rhodes, and the Memphis Horns contributed their touches too. The Call Me album was considered by many to be Al Green's creative peak. During his career at High Records, Al Green sold more than 20 million records. To put that in perspective, that was more than the record sales of Otis Redding, Sam and Dave, and Booker T and the MGs combined during their entire careers. This is DJ Rick. You are listening to Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, on the Voice of Vashon, 101.9 FM, KVSH LP, on Vashon Island, Washington, and streaming worldwide at voiceofvashon.org. In 1974, while the Call Me album was still high on the charts, Al released another classic album called Living for You, and this is the title track.
Living
That was Living for You from 1974. Let's play some more music from 1974.
Sitting here, wasting my time for you. And I'm not too crazy about the idea. Having nothing to do. Oh no. Now it's time for a change. The idea might sound strange. Oh, there's no time to waste. Let's get married. Love you, baby, want to love you, baby, want to
let me sue you, baby. Let me sue you, baby. I can sue, baby. I can wipe all your tears away. 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 Yeah. Don't blame me.
And soon we'll be playing another great song, also a number one hit in gold record from 1974. After that, I'm going to tell you the story of why Al Green left the secular music industry and became a preacher. It's a long story, but I think you ought to hear it. Let's go up next with L-O-V-E, Love. That was L-O-V-E, Love. It was number one on the R&B chart and another gold record for Al Green. So to summarize, in the first half of the 1970s, Al Green released 6 albums, all of which hit number 1 on the Soul Albums chart. He released more than 11 songs as singles on High Records, and almost all of them were gold records. He was famous, adored by fans, rich, and living large. But there was a tragedy about to occur without warning. Al Green admits in his autobiography that he turned his back on God to pursue the world and all of its passing pleasures, saying, "I was a no-good, woman-hunting, champagne-drinking, good-time-having man. There was hardly a night I spent outside the company of some sweet and willing thing." On the evening of October 18th in 1974, in his Rolls-Royce car, Al brought 2 women home to his large mansion outside of Memphis. One was Mary Woodson, a woman who Al had previously had a short sexual relationship with in the months before. The other was a beautiful young stewardess by the name of Carlotta Williams, who had dropped by his studio that evening. One of those women was not sweet at all. Mary Woodson told Al she had never been married and didn't have any children, but in fact, she was married and had left her husband and children to be with Al. That night, Mary was in the kitchen, stirring a big pot of boiling grits, and she said something to Al about them getting married. He brushed her off and said, "Maybe we should talk about that in the morning," and then he went upstairs to take a bath. When he was in the tub, Mary came in suddenly, with a steaming pot in both hands, and she hurled the grits on him, burning him severely with the sticky mixture. Then Mary left the bathroom, found Al's handgun, and killed herself with a bullet to the head. Carlotta Williams hurried to Al and helped wash away the boiling grits from his back, arms, and shoulders, revealing third-degree burns. Al Green needed a long recovery time and had many operations for skin grafts where his flesh had been burned away. While in the hospital, he spent much of his time reading the Bible, and he decided to become a minister of the gospel. Al did continue to record secular music for several years, but in the summer of 1976, he split with Willie Mitchell and the High Rhythm Section and started a new career as a preacher at the Full Gospel Tabernacle Church in Memphis, ordained as the Reverend Al Green. In 1977, he self-produced the Bell album. It was loved by many, but the lyrics showed that he would be leaving the world of popular music and would only be singing in praise of God in the future. He went on to earn many Grammy Awards in his gospel singing career. Elvis Costello was asked if he ever had a religious experience, and he responded, "No, but I've heard Al Green." Ebony Magazine called Al Green a classic, one-in-a-lifetime kind of artist who is so unique in his vocal artistry that he has no peers. Rolling Stone Magazine declared that Al Green is the greatest popular singer of all time and described his songs as unsurpassed in their subtlety, grace, intimacy, and invention. In 1995, Al Green was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. In 2009, he was given the BET Lifetime Achievement Award. And in 2014, he was given Kennedy Center honors. And you really should see the tribute to Al featuring Whoopi Goldberg, Earth, Wind & Fire, Jennifer Hudson, Usher, Mavis Staples, and Sam Moore. It will definitely be worth your time. Let's go out with another Al Green classic from 1974.
Dedicate this song to little Junior Parker, a cousin of mine that's gone on, but we'd like to kind of carry on in his name by saying,
"I don't know why I love you like I do. After all the changes that you put me through, used all my money in my cigarette. Thank you.
The Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, said in 1968 that soul doesn't need to be defined because it's a feeling. This is DJ Rick, and you have been listening to Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, on KVSH-FM. Thanks for listening.
Find out what it means to me.